Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 to 37. I'm only going to read through 30, though, and that's what I'll be talking about here this morning. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syro-Phoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Lord, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you for each one here today. May you bless this reading and our understanding. Amen. Well, our gospel lesson this week takes place in an area where we don't normally see Jesus traveling that much. It's outside of the Galilean and Judean areas where most of the stories that we read are. The region of Tyre is actually north of Galilee. It's not that far. It's about 12 miles north of there in what is now the country of Lebanon. The city itself, if you look at a map, it sticks out from the coastline in the Mediterranean Sea, and it was originally a small island that set off the coast. The name Tyre comes from the Semitic word meaning rock, because apparently that's pretty much what it is. It's a rock sitting off the coast. Alexander the Great, however, showed up and made it into a peninsula. He wanted to attack the people that were living there. And so in 333 BC, he built a causeway that connected that rock with the coast, the Lebanese coast. By the time of Jesus, 300 or so years later, the causeway had been expanded and the city had grown into an economic hub. It's quite possible Jesus had traveled there with his earthly father, Joseph, because it was a source of valuable cedar. You may have heard or read about the cedars of Lebanon that Solomon used in building his temple in Jerusalem. But this wasn't the principal product of this area. The area was known as Phoenicia. And it's a title that the Greeks gave it, and it's derived from their word for the word purple. Purple. Tyre was a place where an extremely rare and very expensive purple dye was made. And this dye was extracted from a Mediterranean mollusk that looked much like a conch. If you've ever seen a conch shell, that's pretty much what this looked like. And it took thousands and thousands of these mollusks to make 1 ounce of purple dye. So we can get a better understanding then of why purple was the color of royalty, and wearing purple signified great wealth. Well, it appears that Jesus was traveling alone, so the disciples have gone on somewhere else. It also seems that he's trying to remain anonymous. It's possible Jesus just needs some time away. We've read now week after week where the crowds are constantly descending on him and he can't even find time to eat. It's so busy. Despite this, he's quickly recognized. And once again, people arrive at the doorstep wanting to see him. In the case today, it's a Gentile woman. And the scripture says she's Syro-Phoenician origin. And she arrives with a request for healing for her daughter, who suffers from demon possession. Well, in my research for this message today, I found many biblical scholars that questioned Jesus' response to her. You may question it yourself. It doesn't seem to be consistent with the other stories that we read of Jesus and how he interacts with people that come to him. His initial response is rather blunt and even rude. Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. In this case, the children that Jesus refers to are the people of Israel, God's chosen ones. And Jesus' argument appears to be that he has come only to serve those people. Even more upsetting, Jesus likens this Gentile woman and her daughter to a dog, unclean dogs. I'm not entirely sure, but I think this is the only place in the scriptures where Jesus refuses outright when someone approaches him asking for healing. So why? Why did Jesus respond this way? I mean, just last week, he seemed to dismiss the Pharisees' argument for ritual purity, and now he seems to be invoking that very same argument against this Gentile woman. Well, there's a lot of reasons out there that we could speculate on. Perhaps it was the history between the Phoenicians and the Jews. The people of Tyre had a reputation of oppressing the Jews that lived amongst them. It might have been something more simple. He had hoped to get away and not be noticed, to find a time where he could rest. And maybe he was a little grumpy that his quiet time had been interrupted. I'm glad we don't do that, right? Some interpreters say that he refused to see her intentionally in order to see if she was sincere in her faith, and in her faith that he, in fact, could heal her daughter. Others argue that this was a learning event for Jesus and for his ministry, a turning point in learning just how broad his mission was going to be. Well, regardless of the reason, we can be sure of a couple things. One was this woman was very determined. She doesn't give up easily and presses Jesus beyond what others might have even dared to do. The other is that she seems to be rather clever, maybe even wise. Notice how she doesn't become defensive in response to Jesus. She doesn't argue, despite being told that she's a dog or compared to a dog. Instead, she takes what he says, she accepts it, and then uses it to argue that even unclean dogs are worthy of God's love. Even unclean dogs are worthy of God's love. All she's asking for is a crumb. And that suggests, at least to me, that a crumb of God's glory and power is enough. It's more than enough. Well, I can imagine this scene at that time. Jesus was probably in a room with this woman, and there were probably some others around. And when she says this, everything goes very quiet. Others in the room look upon this woman in amazement that she would dare to contradict Jesus. And then Jesus thinks about what she has just said. He sees the reasoning and the wisdom in her statement, and because of it, her daughter is healed. One of the things I love most about our church is the emphasis on inclusiveness. We don't ask a lot of questions when someone approaches us needing help. We do our best to make sure, of course, that the need is a valid one and we're not being taken advantage of. But we often err on the side of compassion and generosity. And I hope we always do. Similarly, Jesus didn't ask this woman who or what she believed in before he helped her. She might have worshipped idols, for all we know. Yet in the end, God's love and power was made available to her, and she accepted it. Following this incident, there'll be other documented cases where Gentiles will come to Jesus to seek healing, and he will help them. In some cases, Jesus even openly marvels at the faith that they show in him, like in the case of the Roman centurion and his slave. Well, at this point, it might be prudent to caution against using this story as a step-by-step approach for us to get what we want out of Jesus. Instead, I think we should use this story as inspiration to extend our ministry to others, others in our community, others outside this body of Christ, people that are suffering loss or pain, or someone that is desperate, like this Syrophoenician woman was, not knowing where else to turn. This was her last resort. This past week, we decided to help a young family here in Penns Valley. They're not affiliated with our church. One of the parents in this young family is suffering from a very dangerous and aggressive form of cancer, and the treatments thus far are not helping. There are, of course, a lot of medical and transportation expenses that keep building up. And one of the members of our church heard the Spirit this week and suggested a way that we might be able to help in some small way by paying for the children's school lunches for the rest of the year. Well, our outreach ministry team thought that was a good way to show God's love to this family. And on Friday, a check was provided at Center Hall Elementary to cover the lunches for these young children through the end of the year. I don't think the story ends there, though. It's kind of interesting. Yesterday, several of us were out in Coburn at an auction that we had been invited to participate in. And I was having a conversation with Ange Aumann, and I said, Ange, I don't know if I'm going to have time today. I said, I haven't finished my sermon. And she said, oh, don't worry, Pastor Dave. She said, by the end of today, you'll have your sermon written through the events that we're participating in right here. And she was right. We were at the property of Mrs. Pauline Wingard, who, she's 97. She told me she's tired of living alone. So she's going to sell everything and move into an assisted care facility. And it was her grandson, Brad, whom I've built a relationship with over the last few years, that offered us this opportunity to sell food and drinks for the day. Well, needless to say, it wasn't an easy day. We had to take everything that we needed, to include the large tent, trash cans, grills, cleaning supplies, all the food, coolers, etc. Everything that we would normally need to set up for the townwide yard sale out front. Except we didn't have the benefit of the church right behind us to run into to grab something when we needed it. Well, the spot where we were told to set up was grassy, but with all the rain, it quickly turned into a mud pit. All of this and an early start time meant that we were at the church working and getting ready, loading up trucks at 6 a.m. Well, we managed to get everything out there and set up, and we poured our first cup of coffee around 7:30. Then later in the morning, like it happens around here, it seems like, it started raining. Well, needless to say, by last night, there were some very tired people when everything was put away and cleaned up and prepared for today. But as a result, we raised roughly the same amount that we needed to cover that check we had written on Friday. That's God's power. I don't know about you, but reflecting on that last night made me feel a little less tired. In fact, I began thanking God for the experience itself. You see, I made some new friends yesterday. I hung out with some old ones, that's true. But I made some new friends, and the people that were there were so grateful just for us to be there and to serve them warm food and hot chocolate and coffee on a cold, rainy day. I made 3 pots of coffee in that big urn, and we sold it all. But it wasn't just the money we raised and served as part of that ministry. It was being there for these people as well, and for this family, for the Wingard family. It was an extension of our church's mission. It was a call to a broader mission, just like Jesus realized long, long ago when that woman stood before him and challenged him. It's a call for us to get outside of these walls And while it may seem a minor thing, in the end, I'm glad we did that yesterday, and we need to do more of it. Because I think that if we're going to be successful as a church, we need to get outside the walls. What I've observed over the years is that churches that fail to do that, they end up closing their doors and dying. So friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, I stand here today and thank you. Thank you for your kind and compassionate hearts, for being good stewards of the resources that God has blessed you with, for giving of your time and talents to be receptive to God's call for us to serve out a broader mission. For we are indeed called to be God's people in this world in ways that we can't even imagine. Lord God, I thank you for this day, for each one that has come. I thank you, Lord, for this message. Regardless of the reason, Lord, we just thank you for this interaction with the Syrophoenician woman. We thank you for her determination, for her wisdom. And we thank you, Lord, for your healing mercy, which extends to all people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand now, please, and open your hymnals to number 558. We're going to sing just verses 1 and 4 of "O How Glorious, Full of Wonder."